Thanks for tuning in tonight. This is Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. And tonight we're in Romans chapter 12 as we continue our study through the book of Romans, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. If you've missed any of this teaching and you'd like to go back and catch some of it, you can go under our website at www.ghtg. That's the initials for Good Hope Through Grace, www.ghtg.org, and you can go on there and get all the sermons. As a matter of fact, we have all the sermons that we do at our church listed along with the radio broadcast sermons. So feel free to go to online and you can get information about our church and also sermons done on the radio broadcast and sermons done at the church. Okay, now what we're focusing on here in Romans 12 this evening is we're going to focus beginning in verse 13. And we've been looking at different exhortations given to God's people. We began looking at that all the way back up into verse 9. And he's just given us instructions how to treat people, how we're to deal with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's continuing to do the same line of thinking in the text. It's important to be doctrinally sound, and that's what chapter 1 through chapter 11 was dealing with. It's also important how you live and how you treat people and how you deal with trial and how you deal with those that are in need and how to deal with those that are suffering. And that's what these exhortations in these texts are doing. These different qualities and treatments needs to be in our life. If you're a child of the King, this is how we are to live and how we are to treat people. Now, let's go ahead and read our text for this evening. I'm not sure how many of these that we will get to. It says in verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given the hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. So as I read these verses of Scripture, you see how it teaches us as God's people how we're to treat our fellow saints, how we're to treat persecutors, how we're to treat those that suffer, with regard to how we think of ourselves. That's covered in this text. So we got a lot of things to look at. So again, these are Christian exhortations, and this will be Christian exhortations part 3. Number 1, he shows us how we are to deal with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It says in verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Now, distribute means to give to their need. And of course, he uses this term saint. Again, this is a term we've almost lost today, most generally, when someone uses the term saint, they're using it to refer to either someone that they would call a super Christian, or they're referring to something that someone becomes after they're dead. Really, the word saint just simply refers to a holy one. And a saint is what you become in Christ Jesus. It's eternally too late to become a saint after that you're dead. If you'll remember in the book of Romans chapter 1, we've done a message on becoming a saint. Verse 7 says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of the Lord, called to be a saint. Of course, that calling to be a saint is a salvation calling. It's in salvation. The day that you were saved, the Lord called you and drawed you with an inward call. And in that inward call, your heart was opened, and he gave you an understanding to know him that was true, and you be trusted Jesus, and you become a saint. You become a saint that day. In the book of 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, it says the same thing. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them which are sanctified, set apart, in Christ Jesus, called to be a saint. So you're called to be a saint. And the day you were saved, the day you were born again, is the day that you became a saint. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you are a saint. That's the way God's word. That's just another word to describe God's people. God's people are described as disciples. They're described as servants. They're also described as saints. And you become a saint in Jesus. You can't become a saint outside of Jesus. You become a saint based on what Jesus did for you. In dying and rising again, when you receive Him as your Savior, He gives you His righteousness, and He takes your sin, and your sin is charged to Him. So you have a perfect standing before Him, and that's the reason why the word saint is used, is because now you are seen as a holy one in Christ Jesus. Only way you can. You don't become a saint based on your deeds. That's the error that you see today. You don't become a saint based on your deeds. You become a saint in Christ Jesus. So this term saint is used several times in the book of Romans. It's used in the book of Romans chapter 8. I just mentioned some of the usages. Romans 8:27, "And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So again, you see these are saints, they're living saints. He's referring how the Holy Spirit intercedes for God's people, which he just refers to in the text as saints. Well, if we get back to our text this evening in Romans chapter 12, what it tells us to do, and this is talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to distribute to the necessity of the saints. That means that we are to, when we see them have a need, and it's within our ability to help, that we are indeed to do so. Sometimes God's people have a need. Sometimes they run into problems. And certainly it's a great honor and privilege for God's people to be able to help each other. And that's one of the ways that you show you love one another, is that when one has a need, one has a necessity, you come to their aid. 1 John really stresses this. I want to read a text out of the book of 1 John. It says in verse 17, "Whoso," 1 John 3 and the verse 17, "whoso hath this world's good," see, sometimes the Lord will bless you with good, meaning He will bless you with an abundance. And it says, "whosoever hath this world's good," that means you have plenty. And you see, he sees his brother have a need. Maybe he needs food. Maybe he needs a bill paid. Maybe he needs help in some fashion. You see his brother, he sees his brother have a need. That's his brother in Christ. But he shuts up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth, it says, how dwelleth the love of God? That's the question. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, we looked earlier in the text in Romans 12. We looked up at the verse 9. It said, "Let love be without dissimulation." That means without hypocrisy. It's one thing to say you love your brother. It's another thing to show you love your brother. And 1 John challenges you, and it says that if you have this world's good and you see your brother have a need, but yet you don't meet it, you don't help them, you don't have no tender heart towards them, it says, how dwells the love of God in him? "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So we are to distribute to the necessity of the saints. At times, God's people will need help, and they will, and you'll know they need help. It's been brought to your attention. You have the ability to do so. That's what you're to do. You're to help them. Remember, this book of Romans, the epistle to the Romans, was written to the church at Rome. And he's given and exhorting them how they are to treat one another here in this text. How are they to treat? So here's the first exhortation that we're looking at this evening. When they see their brothers and sisters have a need, they are to be willing to distribute to them, willing to help them. Now, Paul, when he wrote the book of 1 Timothy, a young preacher by the name of Timothy, he instructed them to address those that were rich. And those that were rich, those that were the saved rich, is what he's talking about here in 1 Timothy 6. Sometimes people that are saved are rich. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, we that live here in this nation don't realize how rich we are. I mean, God has blessed us with an abundance. It's just a shame that so many people don't recognize the hand of God and how much that He has blessed us as a nation. He's the one that feeds the nation. He's the one that blesses the nation's economy. I mean, we need to look behind the scenes at the one that's in control of all things, and that's our God. I mean, one of the things Jacob said about the Lord was, "He was the God that fed me all the days of my life," and that's true of you too. If you want to see an economy blessed, you need to go to the Lord. And you need to Ask Him to bless and continue to provide and thank Him for what you have. In many ways, we are a very, very spoiled people. And we don't recognize the hand of God and how much He indeed is blessed. Well, let me roll on. 1 Timothy 6 says in verse 17 and 18, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. That's arrogant. A lot of times riches and high-mindedness goes together. Nor trust in uncertain riches. You don't put your confidence in riches because riches can take wings and fly away, as the book of Psalms says. Riches don't last past glory. I'm sorry. Riches don't last past death. Everything that you earn and make and your house, your car, your bank accounts will all stay on this side of the grave. True, durable riches is eternal life and having a home in heaven and having victory over death. So he says, don't trust in uncertain riches because as fast as they come, they can go. Instead, trust in the living God, it says, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, here's what he tells the rich folks, the saved rich folks, verse 18, that they do good, that they use their riches to do good, that they be rich in good works. They do good and use their riches not only to do good works. And it says to be ready to distribute. That means ready to give to those that are that are in need. Back says it indeed is more blessed to give than to receive. So our first exhortation tonight is with regard to saints. Those sometimes that our brothers and sisters in Christ will at times run up on a time when they have a need. They may lose a job and they might not be able to pay a bill. They may be in a situation where that they need food or help in some fashion. It says they are to, we as God's people are to distribute to the necessity of the saints. We are to watch over one another and at times be willing to give of our means. My friend, sometimes God blesses us with extra so that we can use that extra to be a blessing to one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Lord one day will richly reward those that have helped one another in Christ. It says in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, it says, Matthew chapter 25, it says, then shall the king say to them on his right hand, that's the sheep. He says, come ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now listen to this text. I was a hungry and you gave me meat. I was a thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took them in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye've done it to the one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it to me. My friend, one of the reasons you want to distribute when it's in your power to do so, distribute to the necessity of the saints. When you do that, it's the same as doing it for the Lord. That's what he says in Matthew chapter 25. You help one of his people, that's exactly the same as helping him. That's what the text in Matthew 25 teaches. So tonight, as he's given these different exhortations concerning one another, he says when a fellow saint stands in need of help, it says to distribute to them, to help them. It goes on to say, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. And the idea of hospitality in other places, it carries the idea. If you look it up, the dictionary by Thayer's interprets this or gives a definition as being love to strangers. In the book of Hebrews 13 and verse 2, it's translated, be careful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. Now, sometimes what the Lord does is he will set people in your way, so that you can give them help. Sometimes God gives you the opportunity. Now, this is just not talking about saved people, but it's also talking about unsaved people. I mean, one of the blessed ways that you can show to someone Jesus is by giving them help. And it'll open up a door for you to share Jesus with them. God's people historically have always been a people that have helped not only fellow saints, but even the unsaved. They've showed kindness to them and helped them. And sometimes God will set someone in your way because He means for you to give them aid and help. Good example of that in the Gospels is the parable of the Good Samaritan. In the book of Luke chapter 10, in the verse 25 through 37, you can read all about that. Samaritans and the Jews were bitter enemies at one another. They couldn't stand one another. The text records in the book of Luke chapter 10 of a Samaritan who was beaten, who was traveling and was beaten and robbed and left for dead. And the scriptures record of different religious men. A Levite came and seen him, but he passed down on the other side and didn't give him help. He never gave him any hospitality whatsoever. He didn't get involved whatsoever. God had set this man in his way, but yet he passed him by. Here come another religious man. He was a priest, but he seen his difficulty and he passed down on the other side. He never got involved. He never gave any of his time or his effort to help him. I mean, these were religious leaders in Israel, but yet at the same time, they never helped this man. After all, he was a Samaritan. By his nation, he was an enemy of the Jews. They had a history. The nations had a history of despising one another. Well, here comes another man. And he's called, in the text, a good Samaritan. Actually, this man who was beaten was a Jew. He was a Jew. And here his two brethren, religious men of his own nation, wouldn't even help him. But here comes a good Samaritan. A Samaritan was a natural enemy of the Jew. But he sees this same man who had been his enemy, who would have been his enemy because of the nation that he was from. The Bible says that this Samaritan got down off his horse. He poured oil and wine in his cuts. He binded up his wounds. And he set him on his own horse. And he took him into such a city. He went to the innkeeper and gave him money to keep him. If it cost any more, he'd pay him back later. Folks, he really put himself out to help this man. My friend, that's what this means. This exhortation means to be given to hospitality. To be willing to help those that we come into contact with that are in need. You know, unsaved men often don't understand the things of the Lord, but one thing they do understand is they understand kindness. That speaks volumes to them. And many times it will open up a door so then that you can share Jesus with them. They need to see that your religion is true, that your Christianity is true. And then you get the opportunity to share the gospel with them. Listen to this text, Galatians 6:10. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all. That's lost as well as saved. Let us do good to all, especially unto them who are the household of faith. The Bible records about Jesus that He went about doing good. And that should be true of also God's people today. So in giving these exhortations to the Church of Rome, these same exhortations apply to us today. We need to distribute to the necessity of the saints. And we also need to be given to hospitality. We need to seek to give help to those that are in our way, who we see in need. Hebrews says we are to entertain strangers. That's talking about those that we maybe don't even know, that the Lord places in our way so that we can help them. Such is the story of the Good Samaritan who helped a fallen Jew. Well, let's go ahead and move on. Let's continue. I tell you what, folks, when you get to looking at all the exhortations that we've looked at as we're working through them here in Romans chapter 12, If all of God's people had these qualities in their life, I tell you something, we would really have something, would we not? Let's go ahead and read on. It says in the next part of this, it says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. Now, how are we to deal with those that persecute us? I mean, if you serve the Lord, you know, the Bible says in the book of Timothy, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You got to realize that our home's in heaven, that we are pilgrims and strangers walking through here, through this old earth. And I'm going to tell you something. Many times the world will hate God's people. You can slowly see our nation beginning to turn its back on God and the things of God. And as it does, the people of God will be spoken against. And the people of God will be persecuted. And I dare say that it'll probably get much worse as time goes on. Well, how are we to deal with those that persecute us? Notice what it says in verse 14. It says in verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Now, we don't like to do that, do we? It says to bless them. It means not to speak evil of them. If there's anything good that we can say about them, we say that about them. But we do not curse them. We bless them which persecute us. Now, the best example of that is the Lord Jesus, is he not? Jesus was persecuted. He was placed upon a cross. He was evil spoken and lied on. He was done wrong and dirty. But yet when he got on the cross of Calvary, as he looked down upon the people that day, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, that's a living example of verse 14. Now, you see that same thing by the first Christian martyr in the book of Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, the Sanhedrin council had put Stephen. Stephen, he was a deacon in the church of Jerusalem and became a preacher. And because he preached Jesus, he was placed on trial, lied on. And then after he preaches a message, they run upon him and stone him. You know what Stephen did? He prayed to the Lord that this sin be not held to their charge. It says to bless them which persecute you. Why are you to do that? As a witness to them and as a witness to the world. I mean, I can just imagine those by the cross that day that heard Jesus, instead of blaspheming against them and railing against them, him praying for their forgiveness. I can see the same thing in Stephen. God has called his people to a higher standard of living than the men of the world. We're not to evil speak and be mean towards those that persecute us. Jesus taught the same truth in the Sermon on the Mount. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, he tells us how we are to deal when we're evil treated. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 44, I believe it is. Let me get there and see if I can find it. Matthew 5:44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. That doesn't mean work up a warm, fuzzy feeling about them. To love them means to, here's how you love them. It says to bless them. That means you don't speak evil of them. That means if you can say something good about them, you say it. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. Now, that's what it means to love your enemies, to bless them, do good for them, and to pray for them. And here you have Paul reinforcing the teaching that Jesus gave, or re-emphasizing the teaching that Jesus gave here in Romans chapter 12. So not only are we to distribute to the necessity of the saints, not only are we to be given to hospitality, to be a people that go about doing good for those that the Lord places in our way, because he means for us to help them, we're also, when we deal with those that persecute us, we're not to become like they are, mean and hostile and curse them and evil treat them. God's called us to a higher standard. So how do we deal with evil people that persecute us? We are to bless them. We are to pray for them. And we are to curse not. Now we move on to verse 15. And this is probably going to be the last one we get to. Oh, these exhortations, my friends, are rich. This is how we of God's people are to live. These qualities needs to be in our lives. Now, this next one is to rejoice with them that rejoice and to weep with them that weep. Sometimes the Lord will bless our brothers and sisters. Sometimes someone will be blessed. Lord bless them with a new job. Lord will bless them with a new baby. The Lord will bless them with a particular talent. And when they rejoice, you rejoice right along with them because you're glad for them. You know, that's a true friend, is it not? That when you're blessed, they are happy. When, Lord, something good happens in your life and you're rejoicing because of it, that they get right in there and rejoice right along with you because they're glad for you. Now, my friend, that's somebody that loves you. So often there's people that's jealous when someone else is being blessed. And their mouth will always reveal it. That envy will be revealed through the tongue. My friend, when someone's blessed and we see it, if it's someone in our congregation, we are to rejoice with them. Because really, who the author of all blessing is Jesus anyhow. And we rejoice because God has blessed them. So we rejoice with them, with those who rejoice. We don't become jealous of those that rejoice. We rejoice with them. And finally, and this is the last one, we are to weep with them that weep. Now, you ought not preach to someone that's weeping because they're hurting. They need for you to weep right along with them. In the Gospel of John chapter 11, it says that Jesus wept. I don't think he wept because he is disappointed with Mary and Martha's response. I think he wept with them because he's fulfilling this text. He was touched with the feelings of their infirmities, and he wept with them. In the book of Job, Job's friends did horrible when they come to him, when they opened their mouths, when they got in trouble. But when they first came to Job in his hurting, here's what the Bible says they did. They came, they wept, they sat down, and they said nothing. I tell you, you know you got a true friend. You know you got a true brother and sister in Christ. When they rejoice, when you rejoice, but when you're weeping, they weep right along with you because they're hurting because you hurt. My friend, that's someone that loves you. Well, folks, that's how we are to be. These are exhortations that we need to have in our life. We distribute to the necessity of the saints. We need to be given to hospitality and help those that are hurting that come into our way. We're to bless our persecutors, rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. May God add his blessings to his word.